science.
I've got somewhat of a health special for you on Research Filter today because my guest is ABC science and health reporter Tegan Taylor. Tegan, welcome.
Hi, Patricia.
So, Tegan, with the majority of Australians living in urban areas, your first piece of research out of Italy is actually a bit of a worry. High levels of air pollution may be linked to a reduction in female fertility. What are the researchers saying here?
Right. So they looked at the ovarian reserve, which is basically a reflection of the number of eggs that are hanging out in the ovary. And so it's a marker of potential female fertility. And it's been found in a pretty large scale study to be adversely affected by high levels of air pollution. So the study looked at 1,300 Italian women, so pretty nice, large sample size. And even though we already know that age and smoking has an effect on this measure, we didn't really know if there was an effect from pollution, and this says it is negatively affected by high levels of pollution.
High density living and air pollution vary from city to city, of course, country to country as well. Can the results of this study be universally applied in that context?
Oh, well, yes and no. I mean, we're talking about humans and our biology is pretty much the same no matter where we live. But like you say, there are big environmental differences. And one really important factor to bear in mind with this study is that there's no one risk factor. So even if this link holds up, it's not the only factor that affects fertility and it's not even the most important factor. So age is pretty much the most important factor that affects female fertility. And then these other things lag pretty far behind that.
All right, let's move on to another study, Tegan, and a bit of theme music for our next topic.
Down, up, down, up, down, up. Come on, more energy.
There's been several studies recently backing up the importance of physical activity for a healthier life. You've got a new one for us today, specifically targeted at middle-aged people and senior citizens. What is it saying?
It's saying it's never too late to strap on the sweatbands and get moving, as that theme song has got me dancing in my chair. So basically, there was a study that followed, a big study, followed about 15,000 middle-aged and older men and women in the UK for more than 20 years. And they recorded the participants' physical activity levels at the beginning and then at the 10-year mark. And then at the 20-year mark, they looked at how many were still alive at the end. And they found that the people whose activity levels had increased between those first 2 points were much more likely to have survived until the 20-year mark. So really it's saying that you can make a change to your longevity by increasing your activity levels, even if you don't do it until you are middle or older aged. So some pretty big changes late in life can lead to a longer life.
Okay, so I can wait till I'm 50 or 60 to start exercising.
Totally. No, don't do that.
I exercise as it is, actually. I love exercising, but, conceptually.
Yes, if you are already 50 or 60, it's not too late. Get out there, start pounding the pavement. But no, any exercise that you do at basically any part of your life is money in the bank. So the people who sort of came to the study already at high activity levels and maintained that sort of, or even increased that, were the best off. But there were still returns for people who kind of maybe were a bit late to the party. So yeah, exercise now, exercise later, never stop exercising.
Okay, that's very diplomatically handled. This study went for more than 20 years and followed 15,000 people in the UK. Any holes in the research?
Oh, I guess you could pick holes in pretty much any piece of research. Like it's, you know, it's people in the UK and it's only for 20 years and there's all sorts of other factors, although they did control for most confounding factors. But in terms of like studies, this one's pretty robust. It's massive. It's gone for a long time. They did control for things like obesity and smoking and other sort of risk factors that could contribute to your risk of death. And even despite those, they're still finding this effect with increasing physical activity being linked to living longer. So it's pretty safe one to trust, I think.
Okay. All right. Finally, Tegan, this week coffee is good for us and can help us lose weight, apparently. What are these Nottingham University researchers telling us?
Coffee's a funny one, isn't it? Because every week it's a different story. But this week, as you say, it's good. So the researchers have found that coffee may activate the body's fat-fighting defences. What they've found is that coffee can stimulate your brown fat reserves. Brown fat is different to white fat, which is the type that we love to hate. Brown fat burns energy and sort of helps heat you up. And we used to think that it was only found in babies and kids, but we have small reserves of it as adults as well. And so researchers have been trying to find a way of stimulating it to sort of see if we can hijack that effect. And they found that coffee could do that. So they put it on stem cells and it had the effect and they're like, yay. And then they did it in adults and could measure an effect there as well.
To quote the Beastie Boys,
I like my sugar with coffee and cream.
What if I like sugar with coffee and cream or milk, as we say here in Australia?
This is a pretty small effect. There's a really small amount of brown fat in your body. The likelihood that your coffee fat-burning effect is going to outweigh the fat and sugar and other deliciousness that's in your flat white is pretty low. But what they want to do with this sort of research, it's not sort of go out, drink more coffee, although by all means do, I love it. But it's more about isolating whatever compounds there are that are in that and what it's doing in the body, and then maybe using that to develop some sort of drug or other kind of clinical treatment for diabetes or obesity or whatever the case may be.
Does the study talk about the effect of coffee on our nerves and how stress can cause weight gain as well?
No, it doesn't. So like I said, it's a really small study that's really trying to home in on one tiny effect. And so, again, the message to take away is not to like run out and just sort of prop up your local cafe with all of your business, but more that by isolating these sort of like molecules at a really sort of fine scientific level, finding out what's going on means that later we might have sort of a clinical application for this.
Ah, you're good. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Tegan Taylor is a journalist with ABC Science and Health. This is RN Drive. Patricia Carvelis with you. It's coming up to news time. It's 7:00.